You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Back with you all after the New Year's break we took here over at Locked On Pelicans, and ready to cover this team and some weird-ish topics today. I don't know if this is going to be a fun one, and as I was just planning it all out. So the plan today is going to be three segments as normal. We're going to be talking about the Pelicans' losses over the past weekend to the Mavericks and Knicks, going 0-2 at the end of that homestand where the Pelicans really needed to try and get wins right there instead of hovering back at 500 ball. Then I want to talk about an article written by our friend Scott Kushner over at the New Orleans Advocate, talking a little bit about stuff going on with the team and kind of why Pelicans fans should be upset. And certainly they are. I'm going to share some things I've kind of gathered back. And we're going to talk about maybe some branding and this team finding an identity, not on the court, but in the minds of fans and trying to build something here and bond with the city of New Orleans, which hasn't been great, particularly since the rebrand and everything. And then finally, we're going to wrap up this podcast talking about the Jazz game. The Pelicans are on the road, taking on a very ailing Jazz team. I'll tell you what we're really going to be looking for in this one, what I've got my eye on towards the end, in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by Draft. So when I last left you all with the podcast, last Thursday, I think it was, everything was good. We were really happy because the Pelicans had just beaten the Brooklyn Nets, and this came after a two-game win streak before that, so they pushed it to three after wins over Orlando and Miami, and it looked like the Pelicans were really getting on the right track, taking care of business. Easily could have played down to that level of the Brooklyn Nets, and they didn't. They came out and they dominated them, and we had a lot of fun in that game because that was the 20+25 assist game for Rondo, and everything was looking good, and maybe this Pelicans team was starting to turn the corner. We very clearly know now what the issues are with this team. Their turnovers, defending in transition, but overall kind of an energy level and a mindset they need to have that they just have not had all year. I've been calling them consistently inconsistent. But, you know, again, after those three wins, only the second time they've had a three-game win streak all year, it seemed like maybe they were turning the corner. Well, the Pelicans came out and disappointed hugely in the next two games, which, to be fair, were back-to-backs, but I'm going to touch on that in a moment. The first one, of course, as everyone here probably already knows, was the Mavericks loss, losing 128-120 at home to a Dallas Mavericks team that at the time was 11-25. Everything that the Pelicans do wrong in this game, they did in this game. 30 fast break points, so points scored in transition for Dallas. This Pelicans team lacks that hustle in just some of the basic things. They know they need to get back in transition, yet they continually don't. And as I talked about and written about over at LockedOnPelicans.com, on there talking about how part of the bad transition defense is really also based off of having guys in the corners. We're going to move on to that in a minute because it was a poor shooting night for the Pelicans. But again, after pounding Orlando, Miami, Brooklyn inside with the bigs in Davis and Cousins, and those guys were getting down low on the low block and scoring those easy shots that they can always do, they didn't. DeMarcus Cousins reverted to his three-point shooting again, which we don't hate, but he took 10 on the night against Dallas. We don't want to see that. That's an issue. He had 32 points on the night, but when you compare his point totals to Drew Holiday, who had 23, and Anthony Davis that had 33, Boogie was minus 12 on the night, where Davis was minus 3. Holiday was actually plus 3. It shows you how he wasn't impactful there, and those 10 threes that he took, only hit 3 of them, so 30%, was pretty bad. The Pelicans, after leading the league in three-point shooting, I think forgot how to shoot the ball. They shot under 26% on the night, 8 of 31. and let Dallas kind of just do what they wanted and, you know, just didn't put up much of an effort defensively. The Mavs had everyone who played scored, and basically it was a minimum of 7 points. They got an all-around team performance in that game. The Pelicans, who were about to play on the second night of a back-to-back, this was the first game. The next game we're going to talk about with the Knicks was the second game, only played 9 guys again. We talked about it. Yeah, guys aren't going to hustle back in transition when you have your starters playing 43-plus minutes a game. Cousins played basically 44 minutes. Davis played 42. Holiday played 39. Moore played 35. These guys are logging heavy, heavy minutes at times, and it maybe is starting to add up. Again, 9 guys played for the Pelicans. They scored 10 total bench points. It's not going to get it done. And a lot of these trends continued in the next game against the Knicks. And by the way, that score is closer than it really looked in the game to the Dallas Mavericks. They lost by 8, but they were down by as many as 26. Against the Knicks, it's kind of a similar thing. A 105-103 loss. The Pelicans were down by as many as 16, largely coming in the first and second quarters there, before New Orleans started to scrape back in the third and at least had a good frame there before losing the fourth. And again, ultimately, it wasn't enough. They put themselves in a hole right there. This is one, again, where they just didn't go out and try hard enough. They did most things right. They weren't bad on the turnovers, just 13. We said under 15 is kind of that magic number. They limited fast break opportunities for the Knicks, but the Knicks went in and put up 60 points in the paint against the Pelicans. When you have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins down low, that should never happen. Now, there's a couple of reasons for this. Again, on the second night of a back-to-back, you're playing a 9-man rotation. Omer Asik not getting any minutes. Cheick Diallo not getting any minutes. There's some injuries on this team. Tony Allen's out. Those guys are kind of, you know, Solomon Hill's still out. Frank Jackson hasn't played at all this year. You still could toss Omer Asik 5 minutes just to get Davis or Cousins a rest and to keep them more effective. I've told you guys that last season, Cousins, they limited his minutes to 8-minute spurts because that was when he was most effective. And after playing longer than that, his play significantly drops in terms of efficiency and just overall how good he is. So playing him 40 minutes probably isn't the way to go, especially on the second night of a back-to-back. I'm going to hammer that point home because this is mind-blowing to me. And again, with a 9-man rotation, the Pelicans bench scored 8 total points. In 2 games, they had 20 total points, and I believe that combined the benches in those games for the Mavericks and the Knicks scored over 100, so over 100-20. You're not going to win when that is the case whatsoever. And again, the Pelicans struggled shooting the ball, especially from 3. They were 6 of 26 on the night, 23.1%. And if you look at those, it's front iron. That means tired legs. This team is being mismanaged currently. Yet they have enough talent here to be 18-18, which is going to move right after the reset here into a few different things that I want to talk about. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft, PlayDraft.com, and the Draft app are 80% better than on salary cap sites? And that's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app too. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, be done in under 5 minutes, and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. And all of that is the key to everything here. On those salary cap sites, you need to pick dark horses, guys that are going to go off that not everyone is buying. Everyone's taking Anthony Davis. Everyone's taking DeMarcus Cousins. When they do well and they're on your team, it doesn't help you much because everyone has them. Draft is just that, a draft. You draft a guy, he's on your team. No one else reaps the benefits but you. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPELICANS. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPELICANS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LOPELICANS. So if those losses left a bad taste in your mouth, and they should, our buddy Scott Kushner of the New Orleans Advocate has got you covered over there. You need to go check it out, and we'll get him on the podcast. He's been on a couple of times. We'll get him on again soon. He's got an article basically titled, Fans Deserve Better Than What the New Orleans Pelicans Are Offering. And that sums it up really, really well. We're going to go kind of ranty in this segment here. But basically what he says is because they've never created a winning culture here in New Orleans over the however many years they've been in the city for, then it's okay. Like, you get it. You should be frustrated. I get it. You should be frustrated. Shoot, as a guy who's somewhat objective in this, I'm very frustrated with what I see. And he talks about it being a combination of short-term thinking meshed with low expectations. And all of that basically leads you to think that what's going on here is okay. Hey, this Pelicans team is 18-18 and still holding on to the eighth spot in the Western Conference. That's good, right? And it really isn't, particularly when you have losses to the Dallas Mavericks and to the New York Knicks. And this is a win-now team that really isn't winning right now. Things aren't as bad as they could be, certainly. Again, they are 500. They're in the playoff hunt as of now. But things could change, and frankly, it should be better than this, particularly for fans that are shelling out money. And basically, what he kind of goes on to say in this article is that, you know, because they win just enough, a lot of people are sticking around. But as he mentions, and this is what I kind of want to dive into with it and explore in a short segment, we'll probably do it over the rest of the season, week, and so forth, that when this team stops winning, who's going to be there supporting this franchise? And that outlook doesn't look good. People are starting to really jump off already right now. And of course, you know, the Saints season is still going on. They got the playoff game in the Dome this coming Sunday. And people are focused on that. But after that ends, I don't think we're going to get the usual drove of people being more interested in the Pelicans than they usually are. And trust me, my schedule, just in terms of radio and TV and different things, picks up once Saints season ends because you got to fill that with basketball. People don't want that right now. People are really turning on this team, I think, as this season goes on, even though they are 18-18. They're frustrated with Gentry and the same mistakes we keep seeing. And at a certain point, either you need to coach them out of it or you need to get new players that can not make those same mistakes. Can't really retool this roster in this method, you know, in the middle of the season right now. So most people look at the head coach, want him gone. They want Dell Demps gone. Again, trading every first-round pick, I think, since 2012, basically other than Buddy Hield. But then he was moved out of there. So what happens when this team is no longer winning? And he says, just because you're not the Spurs or other, you know, or another team, you can still create a bond with the city that you're in, and that builds kind of an identity around that. So a non-on-court identity. And sometimes the on-court identity can permeate to the off-court stuff. Grit and grind is very much a motto over in Memphis, not just for the team, but just kind of everything around the team. They can retool that roster, but that's going to stay kind of around there because that's what they've built. The Pelicans don't have anything like that. This is one of the most unique cities in the world. Look, I moved here in 04 and I've never left and I never want to leave. And this is where I want to be. And the basketball, the in-game, in-arena atmosphere at the Pelicans games is just so generic that it's kind of disappointing. And I was talking about this on Twitter, and I'll probably write about it. Like I said, we're going to be talking about this a lot. But the Pelicans do build a connection with the city. They're out there in the community building basketball courts that I've written about years ago. They're doing charity work. They're doing a lot of great things. Heck, you had DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis ride in Zulu, one of the Mardi Gras parades, last year. But a lot of the local flavor in the arena, in the Smoothie King Center, is so much like a stereotype or caricature that it doesn't really fit and doesn't really feel like it's something very New Orleans there. You know, how many times have you heard people wanting more local music involved in this? And the Pelicans did this for a little bit. maybe they were the then Hornets, when they had the house band in the arena, a jazz band playing at every game. It was an awesome idea. And then it went away. They had the B-Zanies, the crazy fans, and then they wanted that gone. Though, that's due to a lot of like infighting and drama there. But that's a story for another day. But they don't do any of this. It's just such a generic, bland experience that, you know, there's no ties to the cultural heart of New Orleans. So as Kushner states in the article, and I really liked this one, he says, going to a Pelicans game is like going to a sports bar. It's marketed as a night out of the house more than a source of citywide passion. Think about that one for a second. Grit and grind in Memphis, citywide passion, not just, hey, get out of the house and get away from your kids and come watch some basketball in Anthony Davis. That's not what you want. And the Pelicans haven't done anything to kind of embrace that side of it with them. More local music would be a great start. The King Cake Baby's fun and all, but it's more done for people outside of New Orleans. That's something I don't think people here really care about that much. So this is certainly a weird situation where they need to kind of attack this in a different way, because when this team stops winning, and there's no guarantee this is going to keep going on, because this is a pivotal season. You hear the grumblings from Anthony Davis. Who knows if they're going to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins, though certainly they have the inside track and advantage on that. Next season could be really, really different. So what I said, and you guys all know I'm a big video game guy. I play video games constantly. Some of you have added me on the PlayStation Network. A lot of games, particularly online games with a big fan base, hit this weird point where the fans are kind of revolting against the game, maybe because there's not enough stuff to do in the game, or there's issues with it, or it's not fun. And a lot of these big developers, and you know, these budgets on these games are $200+ million, they are the equivalent of like big blockbuster movies, they invite prominent personalities that are involved in that game's community, whether it's streamers on Twitch, YouTubers, guys who write on the forum, who make videos, different things like that. They bring them into their offices to gather feedback from those guys and ask them, who are not, you know, video game developers or programmers or anything like that. They're just guys who play the game a lot and make content around that. Get feedback from those guys to really kind of get in touch with the fan base more. I was saying on Twitter, there's a game called The Division that did this, completely reinvented itself and saved the game that was going to die and be a huge loss of money for the developer. Other games don't do this and basically go, look, you're going to play what we build and this is what you like. But it's not what they like. And then the player base dies. And that's kind of what the Pelicans are doing here. Do you really want to hear more of the clap, clap, clap your hands thing? No. Give us some horns and trumpets or something, because that's how you really tie fans into this organization. They think of it as part of the city, not that there just happens to be an NBA team here that has good players. You'll go for that, but I don't know if that's a long-term sustainable idea. So this is something I'm going to be wanting to explore more, because I think it is kind of an interesting idea. And I'm not just throwing this out there here, you guys, to try and get myself invited over to Airline Drive and give them some feedback. I could care less about that. But man, wouldn't you reach out to prominent people in the city and say, well, what would you guys do? Bring in chefs. See what they would do for the in-arena experiences. Prominent New Orleans YouTubers, musicians, and say, what would you guys change? Give us one idea, two ideas, and build off of that, because there is so much to do here. And at times the Pelicans waste this. And then it's going to be easy to jump off this bandwagon when the going gets tough, like it is right now for the team. They start losing, whatever, we don't care, the team's bad. You don't only want your fans to be around just because the team is winning. Certainly they will come more. But at the same point, you still do want fans around for the long haul and to build them for their lives, not just, okay, cool, they buy merchandise when they're good. Gotta do more, and it's just something, unfortunately, you don't see the team do enough of. So I know that was a bit unstructured and, like I said, ranty in that last segment, but we'll jump to more structured stuff and on-court topics in just a minute here. But I do want to tell you guys, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. We got Rory Calais, writer over there. Also, by the way, the intro music, the local indie band Vox and the Hound, who's the lead guitarist in, stuff like that. Hey, look at that. We're tying it into here. I practice what I say. He's over there on the site, though, writing about New Year's resolutions to the Pelicans, to the fans, to the front office. Everyone, go give a read over. Reminder, it still is basketball. This is a lot of fun no matter what. But make sure you're checking out the daily content over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So back to on-court things, and the Pelicans play tonight over in Salt Lake City as they travel to take on the Utah Jazz. And, you know, despite how upset we are with this team, the past two losses, this Utah team is ailing over these past 10 games without Rudy Gobert for a number of them, with a sprained PCL in his knee, and he's been out since about the 15th of December. Over the past 10 games, Utah is 3-7. And they've kind of lost themselves, maybe is the best way to put it. They've lost their identity. They've lost a lot of confidence, and you can see it. Defensively, this was one of the better teams in the league prior to this Gobert injury, and they have sunk. They are right now the fourth worst defense in the NBA over the past 10 games, according to the NBA.com/stats page, with a defensive rating of 111.1. All ones, which is kind of cool. They're also one of the worst offenses in the league. They're actually the fourth worst offense during this, third worst offense during this stretch, with an offensive rating of 100.5. So it's a negative 10.6 net rating, which is the worst in the league over these past 10 games. So this is kind of what the Pelicans need to try and get out of this little funk after these two losses to teams they shouldn't have lost to. And Utah's still not going to be an easy out, mainly because they do have Donovan Mitchell, who might be the NBA's Rookie of the Year right now, averaging 18.2 points per game. And he lit up the Pelicans the last time these two teams played over there in Salt Lake City. So they need to be mindful. This is kind of one of those games where you're going to use this as a measuring stick to see where the Pelicans are mentally, and then realize in after the next game you probably need to throw that measuring stick out, because frankly, there's no idea on how to kind of get a hold of this team. Look, this is a game the Pels should win. They've had 3 days of rest, and they're just more talented right now. You don't need to worry about Utah as much defensively. Gobert smothers Davis or Cousins in every game he plays against them. One of them basically gets taken out. He's not there. There's no excuse not to pound the ball inside. Again, this team needs to go back to doing what they do well, and they need to do it consistently. You got to get it done against teams like this. It's as simple as that. If Cousins is launching threes, the offense looks discombobulated, and Donovan Mitchell is absolutely slashing the Pelicans apart, there's issues here, because frankly, there's one guy you really, really super duper need to worry about, and everyone else you might be able to kind of contain. To me, this game is all about mindset and effort for the Pelicans. Are they going to look at a team that's struggling, that's 3-7 over its past 10, that again has the worst net rating over that stretch, and think they can just coast by on talent? Because if they come out doing that, they're going to end up down 15 points again in the first half and then not be able to come back and win this game. Or if they do, it's still going to look bad. Struggle wins are never a good thing, even though they do count as wins. So if this team thinks they can just coast by and get the victory, they're going to lose. It's as simple as that. We've seen it. Or can Alvin Gentry coach these guys up enough for at least this game to get this victory, get above 500, and again, try and get some separation from that, you know, even mark, because you need it. Eventually, losses will start piling up. The Western Conference, while not as great as it has been in years past, is still difficult, and you've got to beat teams that are kind of around you in the standings to move on up, because those are the teams on your schedule. They can't play all bad teams and just get in. So this is one of those ones, like I said, you're just going to kind of see where they are mentally. You know, if they come out and play well, that's great. It means Gentry's still getting to them at times. But if they come out and don't, the Pelicans seriously need to take a long look in the mirror about firing Gentry. Is that ultimately going to fix things? No. These problems start at the top and likely start with ownership, and we can work our way down from there. But at a certain point, if the players aren't listening to the coach in the middle of a season when the playoffs are really on the line and it's kind of playoff or bust, and that determines a lot of different things, legacies, free agent signings, whether people might want trades, different things like that. If they're not listening to that dude, you need to kind of put someone in there they might listen to. Or simply firing a guy might wake these guys the hell up. I don't know for sure. And I don't think firing Gentry is going to fix everything, but I'm starting to really lean towards that point, because if they come out and don't play well again, it's going to be because of effort. This cannot keep happening in such a pivotal season for New Orleans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. I don't want to do a huge long preview for this game. We could go into the X's and O's, but we know this team wins when they go out and try and have the energy, effort there and are locked in on defense. And nothing else really matters, because there's enough talent here to be much better than 18-18 at this point. So thank you all for listening. Don't forget, check out draft.com, the draft app for your daily fantasy needs. It's a lot of fun. I've used it when I've been traveling. It's a great way to kind of get out there, win some money. You guys are smart basketball fans. I know this because you listen to me. Also, don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com for daily content on your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.